Yeah, we're starting 29. All right. Now, while I was trying to get these things ready, I read through quite a lot, and I found out that there's so much story to read in there. Therefore, I'm just going to summarize a number of things. Is that okay? All right. We won't just read everything line by line, except it's important that we pick a lesson from it. So I'm starting from Genesis chapter 29. Let's just read a few verses, and then I'll give us the rest of the story. Now, it said, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. Now, please remember that, let me just go back a step. In verse 20, in chapter 28, we saw how Jacob left home because his brother was angry with him, and his mother gave it as an excuse that so that he would not marry children, the daughters from around there, asked the father to please let him go, and then he left. Now, on the way, it was when he dreamt the dream and then made a vow to God. Then in Genesis chapter 29, now this now began to happen. He traveled. The Bible says in verse 2, he looked and he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there. He said, for from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. When the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the water and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place, that kind of thing. Now, the rest of the story there, you will find that what it's just about is essentially how he got to the house of Laban. And then when he got there, he saw that the story in Genesis 29 is basically how he got involved with the house of Laban. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to just summarize everything. And then Laban now asked him, of course, asked after his people and everything, and Laban welcomed him into his home. All right, so the story in 29 essentially was how he got to the house of Laban and then liked Rachel. All right, now let's start from verse 16. He said, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now, what he meant by Leah's eyes were weak, we just know it's in contrast to the fact that Rachel was beautiful. Is that okay? Now, please, let me just say this. That was, this is my opinion, though. That was in the perception of Jacob. So what you are seeing here is actually a reflection of the opinion that Jacob had about the situation. That's the way I see it. Is that okay? Now, Jacob considered the Rachel to be very, very beautiful. And then, now the Bible says in verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel. So he asked. The reason why this matter came up was because Laban wanted him to stay with him and, you know, work with him. And Jacob has said that. Jacob said, okay, no problem, I'll stay with you. But Laban now said, look, you must tell me something that you are going to earn for working with me. So that's why this discussion now went to the matter of the daughters. So Jacob now said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, very good, in verse 19. Now go ahead and stay with me. Now verse 20 is a summary of 7 years. The summary of 7 years is that Jacob served for Rachel those 7 years, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Please notice this. Jacob served for 7 years. Now, he worked for Laban for 7 years as payment for his wife, that's as dowry for Rachel. And the Bible says it seemed to him like a few days because of his love for her. Now, actually, this is not where I'm going to in this particular chapter. I'm still going to go further. But let me just interrupt for about 5 minutes and just say something for all of us in passing here. The power of that love. Now, I'm not talking about the power of the love for woman now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, that is clearly expressed here. But I want to talk about the power of a love for anything generally. Somebody quoted to me, and I didn't know I said it. You know, as a preacher, you say a lot of things. You don't even know you said them. He said that, I said that passion makes the process painless. And I said, who said that? I said, me? When did I say that? And actually, I now began to remember that, yes, it's the kind of thing I should have said. But really, I couldn't remember saying it. Now, again, but this is just a scripture to show us that that's exactly how life works. Now, if something is very difficult for you, most likely it is because you don't like the thing. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make here? That is, if your heart is really in something,
it becomes very easy to do it when everybody else is saying that this thing is hard. I remember something Bishop Oyedepo said once. He said one thing about him, very negative. And then there was one young lady, one of his daughters, you know, daughter now in the Lord. And she was very, very offended. And she came to him and said, how can I be talking like that? That we all know how you suffered. You know, that kind of thing. And he said, suffered? Me? You suffered? He said, oh, this is what I was suffering. Do you get the point? That is, while he was working, starting a ministry, doing a lot of things, and outwardly you look as a man, this guy is suffering. Are you getting my point? He said he did not realize that he was actually suffering. He said, as far as he was concerned, he was doing something that he loved to do. You are getting the point I make here. And for him, it didn't appear painful at all. But those observing from outside, you know, there are times, when I look back now, I have a feeling of, how do I say it now, of unity with this kind of experience. I've had, I don't know whether this is good to say or not, too, but I know there are times before people used to look at me as a very, very odd fellow. Two of my friends, my best friends, one day they sat down and said, this man, we don't think you'll ever buy a car in your life. I said, what? Which kind of swear be that one? You know what I mean? That's pidgin English. So they swear for person. Okay, now which kind of course is that? That's okay, maybe that's what you understand. I was speaking pidgin. And they said, well, we don't think you'll ever need one. Are you getting the point I'm gonna make? I remember one of my friends took me out when they came to my house. He said, look, this guy, your life is too dry. Enter the car. Let's go to the beach. They said, let's drive to Cotonou. Yes. What are we going to do? He said, nothing. Let's just drive there. So I entered the car. And that's what they said, okay, I should drive. So I drive just to, you know, they were at the border that they said nobody could cross for certain reasons, that nobody should cross. We're not going to do anything, just driving. It was a public holiday. So we now turned around and he said, all right, what do we do now? He said, let's drive to one of the beaches in Badagry Bridge. So, well, we drove there. He said, okay, turn here. I was not doing the driving now. It was his car. Then we parked. Then we were three in the car, him, one guy and one lady. And so they said, okay, let them go. Then they went to the waters, you know, go and play. Well, I looked for one of the sheds. I sat down, brought out the Bible, and started reading. I always went around with my small Bible. So when we just go to the beach, so what's going to happen here? So why are we here? The guy said, what do we want? We came to play. So I said, okay, all right, let's go play. I just looked for one of the places where there was a shed there. I just went to that place, sat down on the sand, brought out my Bible, as I already. Now, let's be honest. If it is me, now I'm remembering now, I would have thought this guy was not normal also. You get the point that I make. But the reason why I used to do things like that was simply because, I don't know, I think I just enjoyed, no, really, for me, it was really a matter of passion. The thing was sweet. It was nice to do. The guy just looked like me, as if, this guy, you're a hopeless case. I don't know what else I can do for you. I've come on the weekend, on the public holiday, to drag you out of your house. We dropped you on the beach, yet you went and sat down in one of these sheds there and started reading the scripture. I'm just bringing out something here. Now, take as an example, this is our beautiful country, which I believe is very beautiful. I was editing our radio broadcast, you know, for tonight, and I realized, I was listening to some of the things I said. I said, yeah, this is very good. This country is a very, very good country. And there's a reason why some of us will actually think it's very good, despite all the problems that might be present there. Now, in life, generally, this is how it is. If there's nothing really that's driving you, that is when you notice all the problems of life. Do you follow what I want to say? He said, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. I've explained that one to us before. That what that means is that when a man has a passion, has a drive, all the injuries, my best example, when I give that illustration, the example I used, it's my best, is football. If you've seen footballers, those guys are really, really walking. I mean, they are speeding. You give the guy a stud, he falls down, you tackle him roughly. They actually get injured, but it doesn't slow them down until the end of the match. It's at night when the match has ended that you know how injured men were. Your leg will still swell. There's nothing. If they kick you bad, it will still swell eventually. But while you are there, you really don't notice. Have you not seen things like this before? Maybe you were doing a sport, at the end of the day you finish, then you see an injury on your hand. So when did this happen? You're bleeding, but you don't know exactly when it happened. The reason being that there was something that gripped your heart, and that's what you were working with. So why I started saying all of this is that in life, you can see all the problems in society.
It is because there is nothing really that is driving the person who is observing the situations. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm going to make. For example, look, I've had a lot of hassles. I mean, personally, everybody does, you know. Maybe like we don't have light, and then to go and connect light from one long place for us, it costs you so much money. And then as you are finishing that, you have finally solved the light problem, then roof problem starts. Your roof starts leaking. Like after we finish repairing this roof, like we repaired this roof last time, the Zemeka notified me that for 1 week or two we're rejoicing. Praise God, though. He said, Pastor, well, I walked in this morning and I saw pools of water here and there. Hi! My spirit fell again. Are you getting the point I'm making? But you see, what is driving us actually is that, see, despite that, too, we are designing how where our next stage is going to be. No, in another 4 weeks or so, we'll have a new stage, or at least by the time we start next time, maybe second meeting, we'll have a new stage there. All right? No, the stage will leave this side. To be on that side, we'll have a banner at the back. We're already designing things. All right? All the problems that look like there's no light. Somebody's making us that the cars are honing and honing and honing. It has never crossed my mind or your mind that we should just pack this whole thing off. Let's just go back and assume, you know, let's assume nothing's happening, Joe. Let's forget it. Why? You see, like I was saying on radio, please make sure you don't miss this series we are saying on radio, that you can never have a vision in life until you have a problem to solve. You can't have a vision except there are problems. Nobody campaigns for a position but by campaigning that he will solve problems. You know, today I was watching on CNN, the summary of the debate that CNN organized for the front runners in towards the presidential election, the Democratic Party. You know, of course, I listened to them again. Just like I gave as an example on radio, the same thing, of course. The issue was Barack Obama was there. Hillary Clinton, and then one other guy, three of them. And the issue was, how will you solve this Iraqi war? It is a problem. That is, how you will solve a problem is what makes people appoint you to office. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You cannot have a vision except you have identified a problem. It is not possible. If you sit down having a vision that is not solving a problem, that vision is not of God. You are following the point I'm trying to make. You want to know whether it's of God, your vision must be solving a problem. Now, what I'm trying to say here is this. The love for God, the love for the brethren, the love to do something for God on the earth is actually what makes all these processes painless. Are you getting my point? There was a day we're teaching here. You are all witnesses. It started raining. We had to evacuate from here and squeeze ourselves in somewhere. The rain was beating so hard on the roof. Somebody couldn't hear the other. Are you getting my point? Yes, but we didn't go away. And of course, shortly after, we forget. For me, I really derive my joy once I see that the thing is well recorded and it still comes out clear. People can hear it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. So all the problems of life, okay, you solve them. That's not the point now. Your personal problems, you overcome them. That's a better word. By having a focus, something really that you are running for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's the way life is. Listen, if I one day I just told my wife a few days ago, I said, why is it that we must always have one problem or the other to solve? Do you understand? As soon as I finish solving something, they just come and say, all the bulbs on this side don't blow. Why are these bulbs blowing? Why can't they just have mercy on me and say the next 3 years so I don't have to solve problem with bulb blowing? Walked in one day, Nepa search, took my VCD player, my TV, about 4 fluorescent tubes. I said, like, Jesus Christ. This has to be solved. Then you finish all of that, my wife will tell you that, the freezer is not closing properly again. Sometimes I don't want to buy some extra thing. I said, look, that's something else to maintain. I don't want. So you could buy this to help you. I said, Then it will add to the number of things that could get wrong in the house. But that's the way life is. You're always solving one thing. That's why Jesus said that to him that overcomes. The crown is given to whom? Him that overcomes. Not the one that ran away. You know, I keep on warning all of you. If you think you can run away from where things are hard to where things are easy, you are going to suffer for eternity. I'm warning you now. Don't think I didn't warn you. Because to him that overcomes, that's the one that Jesus gives a crown to. Not the one that ran away. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm just speaking that. I didn't want to talk for so long on that anyway. I'm just saying that to let us know. He said that for Jacob served for 7 years because he loved Rachel so much. For that reason, 7 years to him was just a few days. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? All right. That's why the time That's why time is always short when you are doing what you enjoy. But if it's something you don't like doing, it looks like this time, no, they finish. You are following the principle there. All right. Now, so let's just go on. He said, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is completed. Now, I don't want to read all of this, because we know what happened. They had a feast. Make sure, I think part of the reason why the feast was done was to ensure that Jacob was drunk. Do you follow by the points? So that the man drank very well. So that night, he wouldn't know that this was not Rachel, but it was Leah. Now, but I won't read all the details. After the feast, what happened was Leah was given to Jacob. And Bible said Jacob went into her. And then when he woke up in the morning, he found out that, look at what they have done. They have substituted Rachel Leah for Rachel. And then he began to complain. Now, I said something to us before, that one of the things that God did, a major thing that God did for Jacob, I'm not going to repeat that, when we're discussing that in previous chapters, that God had to bring Jacob to the place where he could bless him. I'm not going to go over that again. He had to bring. He said, I will not leave you alone until I have brought you back. Now, remember, we read that from where now? Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. He said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, what I said then was that what God was saying, that I will be with you all the time, that there are two ways to look at it. You can look at it that God said, I will be there protecting you and providing for you. That is true. But beyond that, God was saying that I will not leave you alone. That is, I'll continue to deal with you, refine you, you know, touch you here and there to bring you to the position where you can be blessed. And I refer to the fact that Jacob he used to deceive people. He used to do it. It was his lifestyle, I believe, very strongly. All right? His name was Supplanter. And Esau complained about his attribute when he discovered that the man had used his subterfuge, all right, to collect some things from him. But we already discussed why that happened. Now, so one of the things that God did for Jacob, or the major thing God did for Jacob, was that God led him about so that he might remove every foreign god from him. That is, the power to trust in other methods apart from trusting in God. That is, all the things that he was doing that wasn't right. You know, I'm going to say something about it in a moment. That's people living a life that is not right, and God still blessing them eventually. It's so important. Please notice that, and I'm going to explain in a moment. You can be living a life that's not right, and ultimately, the promise of God is still done through you. But listen, you will suffer from beginning to the end. People outside can, this is the interesting part about God's things. People outside can be watching and say, man, this man is so blessed. Do you get my point? They can be watching and say, this man is so blessed. But and then many people may be getting blessed by the person's life. But the person himself will be suffering. And his suffering is because of his character before God. I'll explain that in a moment. Now, so one of the things that first happened was that Jacob was given a dose of his own medicine, and he saw how it felt. Are you getting what I want to say here? That's just the thing I want to say about that substituting Leah for Rachel. Now, if you now see after that, I'm not going to read it for time's sake. What happened after that? They had a discussion. He said the reason why I did it is because in our culture, we cannot give out the younger daughter before the elder one. He said, okay, therefore, fulfill her week, whatever that means, and then we'll give you the second one in advance on credit. Then you serve 7 years to pay for the second daughter. Now, after that, they gave him Rachel. But of course, he didn't like Rachel. He didn't like Leah. So he clung more to Rachel. But interestingly enough, I don't know why the good Lord did it. The Bible makes it clear that God decided to shut Rachel's womb and said, because Leah was hated. Listen to me, I don't understand that principle till now. But he said, because Leah was hated, God opened her womb. Now, we'll say something about that in a moment. But what I want to notice is that looking through their life, the life of Jacob, from that chapter into the next, his house was not exactly a peaceful home. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what I was referring to earlier. That the promise of God may be fulfilled through somebody, and the person still will not, all right, really enjoy life. Jacob never really, really, really enjoyed life. He will see the manifestations of God, but listen, one, you have two wives who were sisters, and then in your house, they're enemies. I don't want to go through the story. You will see, each one will give birth,
And it's a sign that God is favoring me against my rival, my sister. It was a competition, all right? One day, one of the sons of Leah went out and found mandrakes. Mandrakes are supposed to boost fertility, all right? Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but at least in that context, it worked for them. And Rachel asked for some. He said, for what? He said, is it not enough that you have taken my husband? Now, to tell you the kind of relationship they had in the house, there is no man. And listen, you know, it's not modern day that you go and rent house for one in Abuja and put another one in Port Harcourt and you are living in Enugu. It's not like that. They were living together. So you can imagine that every day, Jacob had problems in the house. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, even though God's promise was upon him, and God was willing to bless him, he was experiencing problems because of his character. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are people I know, you know, sometimes you look at somebody and say, man, this guy is a very nice guy. He loves the Lord. Now, are you following my point? He really loves the Lord, you know, and that it can happen. You can have a man who is, in quote, a bad man, really loving the Lord. But maybe his problem is that his deals are never straight. Listen to me. He might be blessed eventually in life, but he will never have rest of mind. Why? Because his deals are not straight. You see, sometimes people don't understand this. And when you are giving people as examples, that's why it's possible to be pleasing to God in a major part of life and not be in another part of life. All right? Now, people may see the effect of that major part of life, you know, and you give me as example. Maybe like we talk about, there are a lot of people I give as examples, maybe they are not believers, and you give them as examples. The truth is that the man may have outward success. We may be able to learn principles of life from the things that he has done. You follow my point? But inside, the fact that he doesn't have a correct relationship with God, he doesn't have a right character, he doesn't have the right moral principles of life will not stop biting him. Listen, believe me, I don't know why God did like that. Abraham was a nice guy. Isaac was a hyper-cool guy. Isaac was just too cool. All right? God now said, well, if I leave only these two people, people think that I only bless nice and cool guys. So he now chose one crooked character. And the crooked character loved the Lord. Do you follow my point? But still, not really. Remember the case of David as our example again. David loved the Lord seriously. Do you follow? He did. And then, eventually, something inside him killed Uriah and married Uriah's wife. And God said, because you love the Lord seriously, we will forgive you. But, because of this thing you have done, the sword will not depart from your house. David suffered for years. God said, I have forgiven you, no problem. But I must make an example of you for other people. You are getting my point? Do you know how many years, I don't know the number of years, but David suffered for that thing for a very long time. That was the reason Absalom rebelled against him. That was the reason why Amnon that raped his sister. That was the reason why he did. That was the reason why Absalom killed Amnon. Who was the other one that decided to make himself king? Adonijah, that's how Adonijah made himself king. Look, the man really had troubles. And believe me, do you know, as a 70-something-year-old man, David was sick. Did you notice that? Now, this is the point. Such a great man, you would think. But think about it. Moses was 120 years old. And the Bible said that his strength did not abate and his eyes did not grow dim. At 70-something, David couldn't sleep alone because of cold. Caleb, at 80, was fighting giants. At 80, listen, there was a reason why David was weak in his 70s. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? That is, yes, somebody might love the Lord, but as a Christian, it's so important that your personal character, you get what I want to say, your personal standards in life keep on increasing and they must meet up to God's ideal. Sometimes God uses people and blesses them apparently despite their shortcomings. But doesn't mean that he's excusing those shortcomings. That's the point I'm trying to make. You follow that point? Now, because if you look at David, which is Jacob here. Like I said, I won't read everything. You can go through it. In the household of Jacob, there was problem from the beginning till the end.
They were always quarreling. The sons of this woman, the sons of that woman, they had different camps in the house. I'm just trying to run down. You see, they had many children. I mean, Leah had the greatest number of children for Jacob. Rachel only bore how many children? 2. And she died giving birth to the second one. Is that okay? I mean, the man didn't have it easy at all. Now, please, I hope you have borne that one in mind. All right. Now, having explained that, let's now go down to verse 25 of chapter 30. He said, now it came about when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourself know my service which I have rendered you. But Laban said to him, if now it pleases you, stay with me. The reason, he said, is because I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. And he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. Now, this point is that select what you want, all right, for me to give to you as wages. Now, up to this point, Jacob has served for his wives. Do you get what I'm trying to say? First, he served for 7 years eventually was given Leah. Then afterwards, he served 7 years and was given, that's for Rachel that he had already been given. Now, afterwards, the man asked, okay, appoint for me exactly what you want, and then, all right, you can please stay with me. This is what I want to highlight there. We've talked about it in previous times, but it's just good for records that I say this here again. He said, because I have divined, verse 27, who has the King James there? What did the King James say? There's something I want to bring out there. He said, for I have learned by experience, all right, that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Now, the correct Hebrew is what most other versions of the Bible renders. My Bible says like this, I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. Let me explain what that means. When it says divined, you know the meaning of the word divination, all right? To divine means to make spiritual inquiry. Are you getting my point? He consulted people, or maybe he knew how to do divination, and they said the reason why you have prospered so much in the last many years is because Jacob was working for you. You are getting the point I'm making here? Therefore, he said, don't go yet, stay with me, then I will pay you. Now, Laban himself was master general, crafty man. And the guy defeated Jacob in craftiness. And I think that's why God took him to the house of Laban. All right? Because you'll find out later, though the Bible didn't give us a breakdown, he said, 10 times Laban will unilaterally change the wages. For example, the first change of wage was for the first 7 years. Are you getting the point? Along the line, he kept on changing wages. The Bible didn't itemize all of them, but you see, they were agreed today that spotted calf, they are yours. When Laban finds out that the spotted one are getting too many, he just unilaterally decided, hey, wait. The striped ones, that's the one you will take. But in all of it, now, this is what I want to bring out, is that the promise, the blessing of God in the life of Jacob was felt where he was working. The same principle you will find if you study the life of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar also prospered because of the blessedness that was on Joseph. But you know what we find today as Christians? Now, I have to keep on explaining these things so that believers will know what God actually expects of them. What Christians do mostly is to look for where the boss is blessed. And they will prosper because of the boss. Do you understand the point? That the best way to get a wage increase, all right, is to demonstrate to your boss that he needs you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, a lot of people ask for increase and that. Look, the man just really, he's almost as if he's doing you a favor. You working for him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you're working, what is it that you are doing that he can't hire 10 people to replace you instantly? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me give a practical example. University system is a very interesting system. In the university system, the government has found it hard to negotiate with ASU. Under Ediagbon, there was time they threatened to sack university lecturers, either Ediagbon or Babangida, but it wasn't possible. Sacking university lecturers means only one thing. You close the university. Do you know why? Now, to the outsider, it may not appear so difficult. But this is how it is. You go to a department. For NUC to accredit a particular course, you must have a certain number of lecturers.
and they must be on certain cadres. Now, to produce a professor is not by reading. You produce professors not by reading. It's not that you read hard enough. You do exam, you become a prof. So let's get profs. No. One thing that is so critical is experience. No matter how much book you have read, how many papers you have published, you enter a university, if you don't have, in most universities in Nigeria, you must have at least a 10-year teaching experience to be appointed professor. No matter how, that is, even if your name is Albert Einstein. Are you getting my point? And then all the while you've been working in research labs and here and there, if you have never taught, the day you step out and say, "Now, please, I want to be appointed prof," nobody will agree. They will not agree. They can pay you wages of 10 times the wages of a prof. All right? But nobody will appoint you a professor except you have taught for a minimum of 10 years. So then, Baba Diagman who said, "We are going to sack all the lecturers." The lecturers just laugh. You can't. The only way to do it is to close universities. Because after you sack the man, you can, okay, you're going to employ young graduates. You employ a PhD holder. You become what they call a lecturer two. Do you understand my point? Lecturer two, the step after lecturer two is lecturer one. The step after lecturer one is senior lecturer. The step after that is what they call reader or associate professor before you have a prof. That is, in the next 10 years, the guy is not yet a prof. Do you follow the one I made? But some people just come. Maybe all the gates may just say, like, "We're not going to open gate again." They will just drive all of you. Get away. Because next day, they will recruit opener of gate. In fact, they will put automated gate opening. So once you just drive up to the gate opens by itself. If it's a security gate, you show your pass, run it across a particular slot, and then the gate opens. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is what gives you a negotiating power in life is the fact that you are literally indispensable. You follow the point I'm making? Let me tell you something. This is just by the way. In life, your goal must be, there must be something I do that without me doing it, they won't find somebody else to do it. Now, I'm not saying you should do it that so you can hold people in to ransom. No. It's just to make sure you are good. Are you getting my point? You know this man, Deo, the man that's founded Deo, you know his dream in life, all right? He makes everything. Deo, they made, of course, cars. I saw an advert today, one newspaper I bought downstairs, Deo TV and a home entertainment system, fridges, everything, you know. They built ships. What don't they do? But the man said his dream in life, he said it then, is to make something that when you think about that thing, the first thing that drops in your mind is Deo. Let me give you understand what I'm, you know, like, as a child, you didn't know the meaning of the word detergent. If you grew up where I grew up, what did you know? Omo. As a child, I didn't know toothpaste. I knew McLean's first before I learned toothpaste. Are you getting my point? Like, we were discussing that the other day. I think it's in the last maybe 15 years that I realized that Quaker Oats is not the name of the thing. That it's just the one made by Quaker that is called Quaker Oats. That other people make oats. No, you know, it's so recent that it's almost embarrassing. In fact, some people hearing that say, "What, sir? Did you mean that?" Ah, I never. In fact, some people didn't know until I said it now. That oats is a cereal. Do you understand my point? They farm the thing. They farm it. You harvest it. It's the one packed by a company called Quaker that you call Quaker Oats. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's the kind of thing they wanted, that I will make something. It's even, no matter how small, but that thing, once the idea drops in people's mind, when you need that thing, the name that drops in your mind instantly is what? Deo. It's like, now they've lost it, but then, when Rank Zeros came out with the photocopier, no, in fact, till now, in American settings, you don't copy something, you Xerox it. You get my point? That's just the way it is. So that's one day I was in my mechanic's place. He was tuning my car, the one that has died, you know, the dead car, the dead now. That was alive. And I was watching this man. This guy was so full of skill. One guy has worked on that thing several times before I finally abandoned the guy and came back to the boss, the big boss, the master himself. And I was there when he was putting finishing touches to the engine before he gave it back to me. I was just there watching. All that came to my mind is, I said, "God, this guy is good." So a desire just came up in my heart. I said, "Lord, there must be something I do that people will sit down and say, this guy is good." Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I said, Lord, you know the word masses. You know how much I dislike it. You know, one of the masses. No, my own is that there must be something that you will do. You know, was it my wife and I discussing yesterday? We're talking about, was this morning now? Talking about Aliko Dangote. That is the thing, is that the guy is saved. You know what I mean? Institution, that is. He said he went somewhere. They said, oh, let's welcome the richest man in Africa. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, this is not just about being vainglorious. Listen, whatever it is you want to do in life, you must have a goal, a dream, to be the best there is. See, that's one of the problems I have with going to America. I'm serious. That is like relocating to... Look. I will sit down where God has said I should shine. Are you getting my point? And I will polish myself so well that I will dazzle eyes that look. That you look like you go blink. You get the point I'm making?